الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers in Islam, Allah Ta'ala has granted us this perfect deen. And this deen is complete in all aspects. There's no need for us to look somewhere else and to think of something else. It's as in today's term we'll call plug and play. You do what is required of you. You will see the barakah and the blessings of Allah raining and pouring over you. And this is not from now. This is from the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got nubuwat. And the tests and the trials and tribulations started to pour upon the Muslims. In the year fifth year of nubuwat, what we have to understand the difference between the period of nubuwat and the Hijri calendar. The period of Nubuwat is the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to get wahi. Allah Ta'ala appointed him as the Nabi, the final Nabi, the Khatimun Nabiyyin. Lo kana nabiyyan ba'di kana Umar. If there was a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the seal of prophethood. Then, that was the period 13 years in Makkah. That is called the period of Nubuwat. So the Sahaba, those that accepted Islam, the men and the women, as soon as they entered the fold of Islam, the tests and the trials and tribulations started to pour upon them. They were tested with their wealth. The wealth was taken away from them. They were tested with their lives. Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the first martyr of Islam, when she was proclaiming the truth, a spear was pierced through her. And she had become the first martyr of Islam. So based upon this backdrop, we find that the Sahaba could not take the persecution any longer. The zulm, the oppression that was put upon them from all sides. A man can only take so much. Once zulm reaches a had, a peak, then the reaction that takes place is something that cannot be controlled. So in this manner, the Sahaba went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to Rasul of Allah, we cannot handle this anymore. The persecution is too much. The swearing, the bad language, and the way that we have been treated, inhumane conditions, advise us what to do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised them that migrate towards Habasha. So Habasha, what we know today is Ethiopia. But at that time, it was the greater land which consisted of Somalia, Somaliland, Djibouti, and maybe parts of Sudan, and what is existing of Ethiopia today. That entire region was called Habasha. So on our recent visit, we went to visit one of the mashayikh, and we told him that we came to visit Habasha. We came to visit Ethiopia. So he said, don't ever mention Ethiopia. This is the land of Habasha. And then he enumerated the virtues of this land. First and foremost, this land was the land of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu had come from this land of Habasha. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam had commanded the Sahaba to make the first hijrah, wherein 11 men and 5 women were made into a jamaat and they proceeded across Arabia, over the Red Sea and into Habasha, and where they were welcomed by the King Najashi. Now, you see Najashi, very interesting story. That is why as I mentioned in my previous bayan here, that each and every one of us should get hold of a Siratul Mustafa. It's so easy. Madrasa Ta'limuddin had modified it, edited it, made it easy to read. And we find all these incidents mentioned in this book. Najashi was a king. How did he become a king? It is mentioned that his father was king and he was the only son, whilst his uncle had 11 or 12 sons. So in their simple-mindedness, what they decided, that because he is the only son, let us kill the existing king. And then the lineage will come to the uncle and his sons. He's got 11 sons, so the dynasty will last a longer period of time. Their thinking was like that. And they carried out the plan. So they killed the father of Najashi. Now, after some time, they looked at the sons of the king, who was the uncle of Najashi, and they saw that all these sons were stupid and dumb. No way they could run a kingdom. That is the difference between Mashwara, when a person is elected through Mashwara, and democracy. Democracy, even the person is unlettered, or he has he doesn't know how to do the job, but because he's got some contact, he'll be made the king, he'll be made the president of the country. So, what happened was, then, the people went to the present king and told him, you know what, we have to kill Najashi. Because your sons can't make it, and he's the only one that's after that, so we rather just kill him, and we know that he's out of the picture. So the king said, you made me kill his father. Now you want me to kill him. I will never do that. I will rather send him away. So the king sold him for 600 dinars and told somebody to take him away. In the meantime, when he was moving out, a bolt of lightning came and struck the king and he passed away. Now there's a predicament. There's nobody to rule. How this country is going to go forward? So they again made Mashwara, said, let's go and bring this person back, Najashi back. He is the only one that's intelligent and he is the only one that could lead us, can lead us in this country. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the events take place in such a way that they were forced to bring him back and make him the king of the country. Although they did not want it, they planned it such, but Allah's plan is something else. When Allah desires position for you, a certain maqam, the whole ummah can get together and try to destroy you. They won't be able to do it. So he has made the king. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba, go in that direction. You will find a king who is very, very just, and he will not do anything. He will not do anything to harm you. Sahaba migrated. Now you must imagine, when we went to this country, Somaliland, the shores is just arid land. And thereafter, the mountains start. And you have to go through the mountain passes. And if you're going in a bus, there's hills and valleys. Just the bus is going up, down, 300 passes you can see you passing through. How did they manage that journey at that time? But for the sake of the deen of Allah, to keep the deen of Allah alive, they managed the journey and they reached the place of Najashi. They presented their case. Najashi heard them out. And he told, welcome, marhaba, live amongst my community and you can live comfortably. So after a period of time, within 6 months, a rumor came about that the entire Makkah region has accepted Islam. Now you can go back. So they packed their stuff up and they returned. They came back to Makkah. On the outskirts of Makkah, they learned that this is not true. The persecution is carrying on unabated. Zulam is still carrying on. So then, what to do? Now we're already here. So some of them, quietly they entered into Makkah. Some of them, under the guardianship of somebody else, they entered into Makkah. And after a period of time, they realized that this situation is not going to improve. The zulm that is cast upon us, that is continuing. So then the second hijrah takes place. A greater number of sahaba, over 40 sahaba, they move to Najashi's land again. Now the kuffar of Quraysh cannot take this. And this is still today, where there's aman, where there's peace, where the Muslims are living comfortably. And there's nothing that they are doing that is out of line or out of the way. When the kuffar see such a country, immediately they want to do something to disrupt the status quo. So the Quraysh in Makkah send a delegation, bring them back. So as usual, until today we see it, first you bribe the people around the king, give them presents, make it comfortable and soft for yourself. Then you request that can we have a audience with the king. So the courtiers around the king, they told the king there's some people that are here to see you. They want to address you. So king said, bring them, let's speak to them. So they came and they made sajda. That was the hukam of the time. That to make sajda before the king. And then they started sweet talking him. Oh king, you're such a nice king. And you're so much of justice, etc. Some youngsters in our community, you know, they stopped worshipping what we were worshipping. We were following the deen of our forefathers. Now they are saying that we have to worship one Allah. You know, that's not possible. Because we cannot get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without some other communication, some other way, some other rasta. So the king said, I can't pass a judgment. It was a very fair king. He said, I can't pass a judgment till I hear the other side. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions in one of his advisors that if a person comes to you with both his eyes in his palms and he tells you that somebody hit me, do not take any action till you call the other person and hear the other side of the story. Because this person may have hit him first and that was the retaliation to his action. So the king calls them and Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu addresses the king and says, oh king, we were living such a time that we were steeped in jahalat, in ignorance. We were burying our daughters alive. The woman had no status in our lives. And we were doing all types of things of ignorance, fighting with each another for no apparent reason. And this should continue for years until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had called us to the deen of the one Allah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And from the time we accepted this deen, these people are doing this to us. So the king says, I don't see anything wrong with this. He addresses the Quraysh delegation. I don't see anything wrong. And he dismissed the case. So the Muslims, you go live happily. And these people, you can go back. So now, the kuffar will not let you rest in peace. You have to understand that. That whatever you try to do, they will try something else to try and lead you astray. So what happens is, they come back. They tell the king that these people, they don't believe in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They don't believe in him as the son of Allah. Na'uzubillah. So he says, okay, let's call another meeting up. So the next day he calls them again. So what's your belief in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? First of all, when they entered the court, they did not make sajda. At once the courtiers started to make noise. Say they showed disrespect. So he asked, why you didn't make sajda to me? He said, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us not to make sajda to anybody besides Allah. He said, that's fair. I am a human, you are a human. Nothing wrong with that. So what's your belief in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? So he said, la ilaha illallah, Isa ruhullah. That Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the Nabi of Allah, nothing else. So the king thinks about it. He says, yes, that's our belief also. Over a period of time, the belief has changed, but this is the fundamental belief that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is the Nabi of Allah. So then he realizes the plot of the kuffar. And he tells, take all your presents back. Now I understand what was your motive. Take all your stuff back and the Muslims can live here as long as they want in peace and comfort. So my dear respected brothers, we find that this land is such a land. We went to a country called Somaliland. Somaliland is the northern part of Somalia. 100% Muslim. 100% deen. And because of this, because the effort that had taken place, every person, every adult has spent minimum 3 days in the path of Allah. And what we see the effect of that is, that now taqwa comes into the heart of a person. He fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not do anything to transgress the limits of Allah. So with the result, what happens? The entire country, there's no crime. We couldn't believe it. So must I show you something else? Our rehber told us, our guide told us, must I show you something else? He took us to the middle of town. In the middle of town, on the main road, the money exchanges are sitting, whole line of them, with a whole lot of money stuck in front of them on the side, on the pavement. And no security, no police, nothing. Just sitting there and waiting. Somebody want to change money? Here's your money, take it. Then he said, I must show you something more shocking. So let's see what you got more. So how we get our people selling vegetable, fruit and veg? The gold market is like that. Person sitting with a small table, all jewelry is humped on in the center. What you want? You want this? Right. Pay. Okay. So this is the effect when total deen comes into a community. When we saw this situation and this scenario, it gives us hope that now if we make the similar type of effort with the Sahaba made, you must know that 8 years before Hijrah, Islam had already entered into Africa. And the Sahaba started to make effort in these communities. So that effort that had taken place 1450 years plus, the effect of that is that deen is still prevalent in those regions. So how much of ikhlas, how much of sincerity this effort must have been made. And we find that Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah had given him a choice. If you want, I can make you king. So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam says that, oh Allah, if you give me a choice, I don't want kingdom. I don't want kingdom. So that night the malaika comes to him and asks him, oh Luqman, Allah Ta'ala gave you a choice of kingdom. You could have become the king of this land. Why did you reject it? He told the malaika, see, when a person is put into a position of authority, whether he's a king, whether he's a president, whatever he is, but he's a position of authority, then there will come a stage in his life where he has to make a decision. And if that decision is wrong, then he is creating his own destruction in the hereafter. And I do not want to go down that road there. So that night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with hikmah, with wisdom. Luqman al-Hakim. And then, now Allah ta'ala gave him prominence, Allah ta'ala gave him status. He became what we term today as a sheikh. And he's sitting with his muridin around him. So one person is passing by and he sees him and he looks at him and he says, aren't you the person that was a slave of so and so tribe? She says, yes, I was the slave. Aren't you the person that should herd the goats of such and such a people? He said, yes, I should do that. Then how did you get such a maqam? How did you get the status? So he has mentioned that first and foremost, I inculcated the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah. Now let us understand this taqwa. This taqwa is not how we will fear a lion or a robber. No, this taqwa is how a person will fear how when he does something wrong and he fears the retribution from his father or from a superior. That is the taqwa we're talking about. A taqwa, a fear based on love. A fear based on love. So Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said, first of all, taqwa. Second of all, I do not speak unnecessarily. What is necessary, I will speak. And thirdly, I do not speak lies. Whatever is the matter, I will address it and speak the truth. So this is the three advices. Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam gave a lot of advices. Ya bunayya, innaha intaku mithqala habbati min khardalin, fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ard ya'ti biha Allah. Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to his son that whatever you do, it can be the smallest thing you did. And you may have tried to hide it under a rock or somewhere in the sky or somewhere in the earth. On the day of Qiyamah, it will be brought before Allah. So my dear respected brothers, time is up. Let us understand that the West have indoctrinated in our lives, in our minds. Africa is like this, Africa is like that. But let me tell you, my dear respected brothers, Ethiopia has a population of 110 million people, out of which 50 million are Muslims. And the amount of deen that they have in their lives. One Jamaat went in the early 2000s and they made some tashkil, open a madrasa. that madrasa has 27 branches after 17 years, thousands of students. The maktab that they have in masjids, 600 students, 400 students in the maktab. So we can achieve this also. All of us put our shoulders to the wheel, inculcate, bring love for the people of the land. And with this love, make effort upon them. How we desire iman, how we desire success in the akhirat, the people of the land must desire the same. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.